Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. My name is Ryan McInniff. I am joined here with Janet, and we, on this podcast, try to give you information and education on senior care topics. I hope you're having a great day. Janet, how's your day going? It's early in the day. It's early in the day.
Traffic was light. I think everybody that stayed up to watch the Red Sox is still sleeping in.
Traffic was not light for me at all, so... I was pretty late. So anyways, that's the way it goes. But on this topic, we wanted to bring up something that we've come across before, or at least I have as the owner of this company. Maybe Janet, it hasn't been brought up to you as much. One of the things I want to talk about was the 7 costs associated with private home care. Sometimes when we have upset customers or people that are just venting a little bit because of the cost of private home care, they think that there's this idea, and I know we've mentioned this before in the past, that, you know, like I'm driving home in some brand new Bentley or something along those lines, we just pay the caregiver as little as humanly possible, and then I take all the profits and walk home with them and just Scrooge McDuck into my basement full of gold coins and gold bars and things like DuckTales. So one of the things I did want to talk about, and we've been on, I think we talked about this during the Boston Globe articles where, you know, they were talking about the caregivers.
Yes.
There certainly, and there without a doubt, is the higher you are up in a company, the more risk there is, but also the more reward there is, just like in any business that you have. If you're willing to put, you know, if you're willing to go to a casino and you're willing to go to the cheapest table, you usually won't win a lot of money, but you usually won't lose a lot of money. If you're willing to go to the high rollers table and put $50,000 on black, you could be having a great night or you could be having the worst night of your life. The swing is a lot bigger. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about was kind of the 7 costs that are associated with private home care. And obviously the first one, the biggest one, is the cost of a caregiver. It is easily the number one cost that we have, that our cost, when you're looking at an accounting sheet, there's something called the cost of goods sold. So if you are a Home Depot, the cost of goods sold are the goods, the actual physical items that you're selling to the public, the tools, the ladders, all those various things. Our costs of goods sold are our labor. And that labor is the most expensive part of this business.
Right. We are a service provider and our product is our people. And I think people always revert back to what they're familiar with. And I think there are a number of people that, they think of a babysitter. They hire a babysitter. They pay a babysitter. The babysitter puts that money in their pocket. And that's all of what's involved.
Correct. So in that situation, that's fine. And it's usually completely legal because there's a certain amount of money that you can pay somebody under the table that's considered fine. Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhere around $1,500 a year. And so the cost of those caregivers grows. And in Massachusetts, one of the things that we've talked about as well is that minimum wage is going up. Mm-hmm. And that's going to cost more money to everybody. Doesn't matter if you're a private home care company or not, whether you employ people that are lower wage, whether it's at Home Depot or Walmart or McDonald's or a landscaping company for the new guy that's just out of high school that's still learning, those wages are going up. And, you know, we have something on the ballot right now that we don't have to get into too much, but is question one is easily the most divisive question on the ballots. The other two are a little bit more tame, it seems like. And this is all about mandatory staffing at hospitals. Mm-hmm. And that they're going to have to staff X amount of people. Maybe we should do a whole nother podcast on this at some point in time, especially if it passes. But basically, they're saying that there needs to be for every the maximum amount of patients one nurse can handle is, I think, 3. Three or four, I think, is the max.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. I think it's three. And so what's this going to do? Well, it's going to cause these nurses, these hospitals and these individuals to have to hire more nurses, which mm-hmm. the number one cost in a hospital is the labor in which they're providing, which is going to make their costs go up, which means that your health insurance and your bills for being in a hospital are going to go up as well. Now, whether you think that is right or not is a completely different story, but that's just kind of the facts. Like the more people you have working at a hospital, the more that it's going to cost. And more. So it doesn't necessarily always matter if it's a low wage. It doesn't matter what company you're looking at. If you need more people, your costs are going up, which means that your price for the services are going to be going up as well. And then if there's a 1 and a 1B, the next one is insurance. Insurance is very costly. And you know, if you think about how much it costs you to have insurance on your car, you know, and you think that's a bear, and to have insurance on your house, that's a bear. Well, you know, insurance on caregivers is a lot worse than that.
That's right.
And one of the reasons, and Janet, you know, to be frank, you don't know the actual cost because I do all the payroll and not payroll, the bill and the payments on my own. But one of the things you can imagine, and I'm sure you can speak to this because you worked in assisted livings and you worked in a VNA before, is the reason it costs so much is because we're in a job that is a high-risk injury job.
Absolutely. One of the highest.
Absolutely. You're probably talking construction workers, one. You know, for a general, I'm sure they're, you know, the deadliest catch is more dangerous, but that's not a large amount of people are doing the deadliest catch.
Yeah.
We're talking construction. We're talking house cleaning and we're talking, you know, personal care are some of the highest rates of injury and taking time away from work. I mean, when you were working in assisted living and you were working at the VNA, how often was it people were getting injured and taking time and filing workers' compensation claims and things like that?
Oh, it was a major piece. And to that end, you know, a company, like you say, spends a lot of money, not just in insurance, but to comply with their insurance person, they have to do a tremendous amount of repeated training just to try and keep it safe.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of unpredictability to what a caregiver does, which is one of the reasons there is the risk there is.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, part of it you're paying for is that not only, you know, some people get worried about what if, you know, there's negligence. And we certainly have negligence insurance where if somebody just, you know, decides to do something horrible, that's covered. Or we do have theft insurance, you know, if there's stealing going on. But the number one insurance is the workers' comp. Mm-hmm. It's the person that's picking somebody up that's relatively dead weight or transferring somebody in a bed that they shouldn't be transferring them in. Like, you know, it's easier to transfer somebody in a single bed than it is to be in a king bed. Mm-hmm. And so you just think about, you know, once somebody gets injured, and usually the back mm-hmm. or the shoulder is going to be one of the things that get injured the most, those usually then have a higher chance of getting re-injured.
Yep, absolutely.
And people can be out for months because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking, you know, if you're concerned, I remember one time we did house cleaning many years, we did house cleaning a few years ago. We decided to shut it down because it was too difficult to find employees. And it felt like we needed to focus on private home care and be really good at one thing. And that's been wildly successful and we're thrilled that we did it. But I remember one time I heard a story that one of our cleaners was in a new house at the time and opened up the door to the basement to go downstairs to get something, and there were no stairs. It was just a 10-foot drop or an 8-foot drop, and it was dark. So what would have happened if that person had just blindly, you know, ran down the stairs and there were no stairs? They could have broken their leg. They could have killed themselves, whatever it might be. So when you're walking into, you know, and it's the same reason why, you know, I have police officers and friends that are police officers, and by far one of the more dangerous parts of the job is domestic violence calls, because you don't know the layout of a house.
Exactly.
You don't know where the nooks and crannies are. You don't know where people can hide weapons. They can hide themselves. They can hide within that house, or you just don't know the condition of the house that's in, and you could be going into a a bit of squalor and or something that's in poor repair, and you can fall through some stairs. You know, you can injure yourself.
Yeah, and with home care, it's actually, there can be more risk involved, and people think of hospitals as being the high risk. And of course there are. There's needle sticks, there's injuries, there's all kinds of things. But they have made a major investment that they don't have the low twin bed. They don't have, everything is very structured, and you don't pick up a person by yourself. With a caregiver, they are in a home, pretty much by themselves, and you are a guest in the home. You can't decide the couch is in the wrong place and move it without checking with somebody. So it just puts them at a higher risk, and we have a responsibility to navigate that.
Absolutely. And so then the third thing that's brought up is an extremely high overhead cost is your office staff. So you have people that are going back to your cost of goods sold. I mean, while Janet and Gina, who are in the office, and Beth's in the office today, and myself, we're not the cost of goods sold. Well, if I don't have an office staff, it's going to be very difficult to be able to schedule these caregivers. And once you start getting enough between hiring caregivers, orientation, training caregivers, then just regular scheduling for ongoing clients and onboarding new clients, and then all of those things that occur on a day-to-day basis that Janet, myself, and Gina deal with, and now that Sarah's in the office as well, Sarah's dealing with, I have to pay them. I have to compensate them for their time.
We need the gas to
Absolutely.
Get here in the
you
car.
Need the gas.
You know,
I mean, and so that costs money. And so when you're talking about a break-even point when you're dealing with your finances, that I need to do so many hours a week or so many hours a month or so many hours a year, whatever you want to call it, to pay for my office staff and pay for my rent and things like that to be able to just break even. And this business is a very feast or famine business, where some months you feel like everything's going well, and then other months when it gets slow, you're glad you had those really good months because it evens everything out. And so I think that in this industry, you have to run as lean as possible with your overhead, in the sense of, you know, you're not going to, you have to pay your employees well. Don't get me, I'm not talking lean about that, but you don't need to be in the fancy 50th floor of a high-rise building paying $5,000 a month in rent or whatever it costs, or, you know, whatever. You don't need to have, you know, the nicest, fanciest everything that's in your office space. So, you know, those are areas where you can run lean. And when those slow months come, when a recession eventually hits, or in February and March, where we're getting all the snow and not as many people are being active, thus not as many people are falling and hurting themselves, that's the lean times for most home care companies. So, you know, those are areas where you can reduce that cost, but you have to pay your employees, and your employees get raises every single year, or they should, or whatever, you know, compensation increases people get. Well, that has to translate into the business and making money and making mm-hmm. more money and things like that. So that's another area where it takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that. And I mean, you don't necessarily have to speak about here, Janet, but in your past experiences, I mean, I can't imagine what the overhead costs for an assisted living with the amount of hands that are on deck to provide that type of care.
It's huge. And you have to make sure that your people are competent. And it's like you say, there's the ups and downs. If you like a roller coaster, I'm not a roller coaster rider, but at my desk, sure. This is a roller coaster world. And, but there are things that you have to, you know, it's a 24/7 business. I like to say we're like L.L. Bean. There might as well not be a lock on the door.
Yeah.
And that's because people aren't healthy on the weekend and sick Monday through Friday. People don't not need us when it snows and things like that. And you have to be doing all your day to day. At the same time, you're preparing for problems that you can see, like coming snowstorms. But then there are other things that are just it's constantly fluid, because you've got the conditions of a client changing. You've got staffing where just the chemistry has to be good for it to be successful. So there's all kinds of little pieces going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, when you were the director of a memory care unit, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're in charge of scheduling as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to report to maybe the RCD or at least the executive director about your staffing challenges and your overtime set challenges and what happens if you need a minimum amount of people on the floor, I imagine.
Yep.
And what happens if you can't find somebody on the floor that's going to work for regular pay, but they're willing to go into overtime to work for you? That's the challenges of,
Have to make it work. And I think in this kind of business and in assisted living, if you're really doing your job well, nobody knows what you do.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know until something goes wrong.
Absolutely. So that talks about kind of the office staff and your support system. And then, you know, the other thing that people do forget about, and I always forgot about it until I was a business owner, are statutory benefits. And statutory benefits are basically mandated benefits that I have to provide people to work for me, meaning I have to pay payroll taxes. I have to, not only do you pay your income taxes, but I have to pay taxes for you working for me. I have to pay workers' compensation. I have to pay unemployment taxes. I have to pay those things that the government says, if you want to be a business, you need to pay the man a little bit to a lot of bit of money.
That's
every
right.
single time to make sure that that you're in good standing with the state and with the federal government. So, I mean, we don't have to go into that too much, but those are benefits that do increase the cost of doing things. So, for example, we have a payroll company that we use. While that might not be statutory benefits, it's kind of part of the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take out all the payroll taxes. They take out all the taxes and fees that I need to pay. And then we then pay them whatever it is we pay them to be able to do that. So that's kind of how we go about it, but it does add costs. So that when you think, hey, you know, for random numbers, I'm paying John $20 an hour to work for me. Well, it's really more like $22 to $24 an hour I'm paying to have him work for me, because I have to pay all these statutory benefits in addition to his salary.
Yeah. And I think a cost that a lot of people aren't aware of too is the actual vetting of your employees. You know, the whole HR component of when you run Corey backgrounds, if you use companies to cover you for people that are out of state that have moved here and haven't lived here that many years, and just the time of following up on references and all of that, there's a significant component to that to make sure we know who we have working for us.
Absolutely. Actually, that's a perfect segue, because I was going to be talking about on the next one, I was going to talk about onboarding, training, and supervision. I mean, we have somebody that we've hired that's going to be dedicated to onboarding people, training people, and supervising them on a regular basis, so that Janet and I don't have to do that as much as we've done it in the past. But there's a whole salary, there's a whole person that's dedicated to doing exactly what you're talking about, vetting them, interviewing them, orientation, and then going out and supervising them in ongoing trainings. And then we have to pay a lot of money to do national background checks and state background checks and all of these things to make sure that we're trying to provide the best people that we can find out in the Massachusetts area to provide care to people. So it certainly is it's certainly a cost, and that was a great segue into that. Now the last three things I want to talk about are what's going on in Massachusetts right now, which is really basically health insurance. We offer health insurance. Most caregivers do not take us up on that because it is less expensive to go through something called MassHealth, which was when Mitt Romney was going with Obama, you heard about Romney Care versus Obamacare. This is the Romney Care version. And what's going on in the state is that, there are a lot of people on MassHealth. It is costing a lot of money, as we all know it does. And, you know, employers, one way or another, whether we offer health insurance voluntarily or not, if somebody's on MassHealth, we are going to be penalized with a tax for employing somebody that is on MassHealth. And this is a cost that is substantial. And a lot of home care companies are very worried about this. And I think a lot of industries are very worried about this because it's a lot of real money. But this is also something that's going to affect and is affecting home care companies because health insurance is expensive. I think in the long run, we're probably going to a nationalized healthcare system at some point in time, unless we get our act together and figure out how to fix what's going on right now. But it's, you know, the fact, whether you like it or not, the facts are it's expensive and mm-hmm. it's already happening in Massachusetts and a lot of other states in the country and nationwide in some cases as well through what is now left of Obamacare. So it's expensive and it's going to increase the costs of, our services, and thus that is going to trickle down into what it costs per hour to hire a caregiver from a reputable agency. So, I mean, it's something that is a necessity, but I think that it was worth talking about because health insurance voluntarily or non-voluntary health insurance for us in Massachusetts is costing a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people understandably think, well, you know, I pay my premium where I work and I get my health insurance through my company. They wouldn't necessarily even consider the other side of it, that where the caregiver has an insurance that is supported by the state and the state is looking to cover their costs. And it is going to just get bigger and bigger. I think it was well intended in the beginning. I think the idea was if, you know, we get charged enough that we'd find a way to get our own insurance in instead at a cheaper cost for an employee. But that was just never going to happen. And yes. I think that's how it started. But
so, I mean, it is what it is. And whether you like it or not, it's certainly an added cost. And one of the concerns is that you might price yourself out of the market. You know, mm-hmm. there's going to be an increase. We've even gotten calls from people where they've said, my home care company's increasing my rates by 30%. Because they have to pay for health insurance. Well, I don't know how that math works out, but I don't think a 30% increase is necessarily recommended. But
I got a call yesterday. Well, what are your rates going to be in January?
Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously we have a lot of changes going on in Massachusetts. And then another one that's good to talk about is unexpected costs and overtime. Overtime is one of the more, for a lot of people, it's a very dirty word. A lot of business owners don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. Do not say the O word because it's not going to happen. My view, and Janet can kind of attest to this, is my opinion is that we're providing care for people that need care. The days of sitting with mom to have tea and crackers and play checkers
the
is long
gone. Days.
Yeah, it's gone. We're in there because of a safety issue. And if somebody's calling us up because of a safety issue, then we need to make sure that our caregivers get out there come hell or high water. And so when you're dealing with a situation where somebody calls out at the last minute or whatever that situation is, whether there's weather problems, there's a family emergency, whatever it might be, my view and what I've always instructed my team to do is providing care to the client is number one. And then it's providing quality care to the client, meaning I would rather, and then thirdly, let's worry about cost afterwards. Cost is third. My point being is we have to send somebody out there. I want to send out the most qualified person that we can send out there to handle the situation. And ideally, if we could not go into overtime, that would be perfect. But if we have to meet the first two criteria, then send them into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sent out nurses who don't get paid overtime, but they're getting paid far more than a caregiver gets paid to cover a shift because something happened where a last minute hiccup or whatever you want to call it, it happens with every agency, but your options are to disappoint a client and endanger a client by saying, sorry, we'll get you on the next shift.
Yeah.
Or you got to eat some money. And my mm-hmm. feeling is that if you're not willing to go into overtime, then you're cutting your nose to spite your face.
Yeah. And I think that, I think we do a pretty good job of managing that. And you have to sometimes be a little bit creative. And, you know, if we find that someone's running late, it's a 24-hour case. So there cannot be a break in service. Well, then you get on the phone and God bless 24-hour on call, you know, you talk to the one that's there. This person's running late. Can you stay a few minutes? Can you stay a little bit longer? You do what you need to do to keep the care running as it should.
Absolutely. And that's just so important in today's age, because we do have a lot of referral partners. And the last thing a referral partner wants to hear is that we didn't go out to a job and do a client because it was going to cost a little bit too much money for us. That's mm-hmm. not going to be acceptable to many of these referral partners. So that is a cost that comes up, and it is a concern of many different agencies. But it's something to recognize, and it's something to let people know about, because, you know, different agencies have different challenges based on where you are in the country. But for example, what was going down in Florida when that hurricane was coming through? We've mm-hmm. had multiple hurricanes hit Florida in the last 2 years. What do you do? What does an agency do when a natural disaster is occurring? But people are like, I need care for my mom. Well, you got to get the care out there as long as it's safe for a caregiver to be there and go from there. So my point being is that obviously if you're in, you know, the death path of a hurricane and the state is saying this is a state of emergency, everybody has to evacuate. Well, then there's not much option I have as an employer. Like I can't force somebody to go in and endanger their own lives. But if there's a bad snowstorm going on and somebody says, you know, my kid just got canceled out of school, I have to stay with my kid because nobody's going to be with them. Well, then we've got to get into action, find a caregiver to go over there.
Mrs. Smith still needs her meds at
9 o'clock. Absolutely.
Yep.
And if we have to pay extra money or overtime or have to pay a nurse to go out there and do it, that's part of the cost of doing business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are costs that don't necessarily get passed on to a client because, in my view, if it's our fault that a caregiver is not going to be able to go out there, then we have to eat that cost. That's not fair to just pass that on. Now, if there's a class 5 hurricane coming in and, you know, and people are leaving and they're saying, hey, we still need care. Well, you know, that's a conversation where we say, hey, listen, this is weather related. I can't control. This is act of God.
Right.
We're trying to make the best situation here. What do you want to do? Do you want to wait till tomorrow to have somebody come out, or do you need somebody out today? Mm-hmm. Those are all, it all depends on the situation and how that person needs care. But in the end, the overtime is an added cost that comes to private home care companies.
And fortunately for the weather that we have here in the Northeast, we don't get too much that comes as a surprise. The weathermen are telling you, you know, days ahead as to what might be happening.
Yeah, it's not like a random tornado, you know, starts.
I was going to say, since we don't worry about tornadoes, and then I think there was one in Rhode Island, another water spout off the Cape yesterday. But, you know, I was at a client's just yesterday, and it's while they were sick, we were in there 24 hours, and now they've gotten much better. We're only there during the day. I was leaving the house when that crazy storm came up, and I had to pull over because I happened to be in a little spot where there was hail. If that was a caregiver, that could make them late, and I'd be sitting there thinking, oh, gee, I have to ask Mary or Sue to stay longer. But it's you just start thinking in terms of how do you not have a break in service.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just something to kind of think about in terms of business. And when we're dealing with business, you know, this private home care and really any business that deals in the service industry. So you're generally dealing with people. You need to have cash flow. You need to be able to have a certain amount of money in the bank that if two or three big customers happen to miss a payment or credit card doesn't go through or the check gets held up in the mail or whatever reasons that you need to be able to float at least a few weeks of payroll before you start to get into trouble. My aunt and uncle owned a company, an agency in Lexington, and when I took over this business, they were outstandingly open about their business, how their balance sheet works, what they do, and because they wanted to help me and be successful. They did something a little bit different from what we do, but it was a close cousin. I won't get into it because I don't know if they want to be recognized on a podcast, but they did something similar. They did a type of home care. And my uncle sat with me and says, you need to make sure you have cash in the bank at all times, because I have seen personally over my 30 years of doing this business, agencies that have undercut us, taken a decent chunk of business from us, taken nurses from us, taken home health aides from us, and then they missed that first bill because they were running too lean, meaning they didn't have enough cash to start up. And then all of a sudden, a couple big clients didn't pay on time or whatever happened, and they ran out of cash. And the second you start running out of cash, word's going to get around to
That's
every
right.
single
your
caregiver,
gonna go look
and
for
your
security.
Talent's going to leave. There's too many other agencies. So, you know, when you look at that business side of things, and not everybody is a business person, but it was told imperative to me that it must be important to make sure you have cash flow. And to be more detailed with what they were dealing with MassHealth. So they were getting reimbursed by the state. And at the time, you know, you're talking 30, maybe even 40 years from now, not to age them out too much, but everything was paper. There was no electronic going mm-hmm. in and getting an immediate. So you would fill out paperwork, you would send it in, they would look at the paperwork, they would send it back if there were problems, and you'd go back and forth. And now it's electronic, so it's faster, but it's still tedious work.
Oh yeah. And if you're on the Medicare side, like a visiting nurse would be, you know, a lot of the VNAs at one time, they were part of or departments of hospitals for just that cash flow reason. Because if you submit something to Medicare and they have 30 days to look at it and they kick it back and then you fix it and you send it, there's another 30 days. That's all money you're not getting paid. And the system was such that they decided what you were going to get paid for, I'll keep it simple, this broken leg. You're going to get $10 now and you'll get $90 later. Well, as long as this is going back and forth, you only got $10 and you're trying to pay your staff.
Absolutely.
So cash flow was absolutely huge.
It was absolutely huge. So, and then he was explaining to me about a situation that he had where he basically said in his business, and this isn't the same with mine, but in his business, he needed, I think it was somewhere between, I don't know, 5 to 6 months worth of money in the bank at all times to be feel comfortable to make sure that they had the same cash. So they needed, we'll just say a half a year's worth of money in the bank to make sure that things were going to flow. And they're a bigger company than we were, but we are right now. They're still a company. But at the end of the day, you know, he was explaining to me that they would get a call from the state and say, hey, you're probably a letter that said, hey, Mr. Smith, we did an internal audit and we noticed you messed up on X, Y, and Z paperwork from 6 months ago that we no longer have to pay you for because you missed the window. And by the way, there's no way to appeal this, but we're going to take X amount of dollars, and I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars from you retroactively in future payments. And we're going to base this over the next 3 or 4 months or whatever they decided to do. But he's saying, there's your example where I can't go appeal this situation. I don't really know what we did wrong, but clearly we did something wrong. We didn't do a paperwork right. And I have to write off $50,000 or whatever the number is worth of billable payment that I've already had to pay nurses for and home health aides for, but I got to have the money to be able to pay that, because for the next 3 months, I'm going to get dinged every single month for $15,000 or whatever it is. Yeah. And there you go. There's your example of, and then all of a sudden, if he's not able to pay that payroll, he's out of business.
And think of how many people that live paycheck to paycheck, never mind have 6 months
Absolutely.
Of expenses in the bank.
So that's kind of one of those things that it was a story that always stuck with me, because it was like the last thing you want to do is have people doubt the solvency of your company. And it's funny because I just started listening to the audiobook about Tim Geithner about the crash. And he was talking about how, you know, back in the Depression era, banks, because there was no real way to communicate quickly, banks, when there was a run on a bank, they would stack their cash in the windows to prove to their customers that they had money. They were like, no, we got plenty of money. Look, we have 50 windows full of just cash. And then people would be like, oh, you have cash, versus the banks that didn't do that. They knew I'm getting the heck out of getting any money I can. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit, but it's just important on how that goes. So, I mean, that's kind of the crux of, you know, of home care. And I guess if you're thinking about getting into home care, maybe you want to listen to this again, because those are the big areas in which you're going to have to spend quite a lot of money on doing this and developing a great system and great protocols to make sure that you're doing the best job that you possibly can. But that's kind of what's involved with the cost of private home care. So when
behind the scenes and how the sausage is made.
Absolutely. Because, I think we've always been on upfront on this podcast. Yep. It is not cheap to get private home care, even if you're looking for 12 hours a week. Over a long enough timeline, it adds up, and it adds up quickly. Now, if you need to get 40 hours a week of private home care for just 1 week, that stinks, but that shouldn't, in theory, break the bank, right? That shouldn't be like an insurmountable amount of money. For some people it is, and that's unfortunate, but it's more or less when you realize that you need 40 hours a week or 60 hours a week indefinitely. And all of a sudden, $1,000 a week means $52,000 a year, which means, $200,000 a year plus over the course of 4 years. So, and then all of a sudden you start looking at those numbers and you realize this is going to add up very quickly. I understand when people are paying those checks and paying those credit cards and paying those bills that they're looking at and say, oh my God, there's a lot of money going into this company. Well, unfortunately there is. I understand that, but there's also a lot of expenses that come with running this company. And those are kind of the big expenses that I think some people may forget about. And, and people that aren't in business that just see this money going out say, oh my gosh, there is a lot to this that we have to pay on a day-to-day basis. And, that's to keep things going. So without a doubt, it's not a perfect system, our little healthcare system that we have, but we try to kind of show you what's behind the curtain and the Wizard of Oz over here.
It's like raising a child and this is your baby.
Absolutely.
They get an age, they need braces, they need this, they need that. It's the cost of raising the child.
Absolutely. So anyways, thank you very much for listening. We're going to keep pumping these podcasts out. We see that people are downloading them. People seem to be enjoying them. So we appreciate that. Janet, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
I hope you stay dry out there. And we will be back with another one as soon as possible. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Take care.